You are in a typical high mountain alpine setting. Low temperatures and long periods of snow in winter, extremely intense sun and wind causing dehydration in summer. Everything in this mountain environment seems to work against plant survival. And as if this were not enough, the growing season is frequently reduced to just a few weeks. Despite this, many plants manage to survive up here thanks to specific adaptations to difficult high mountain conditions. This is the case of low-growing willows such as the dwarf willow. Close relatives of the tree willows which grow on the plains, here willows grow along the land rather than up from it, rising only a few centimeters from the ground. Until August you can also find small soldanella, little fringed bellflowers, which often flower before the snow has all melted, breaking through the last few centimeters of snow. Small pink moss campion flowers, a typical cushion plant, or the blues of the various gentians which love the acid soils of this area. These are just some of the many plants which manage to flower in these places. The Dosegu Glacier, which you can see in the direction you will shortly be walking, is one of the last traces of the vast glaciers which once covered the bulk of the Dosegu and Gavier valleys. In the Pleistocene era, from 1,800,000 years ago, various ice ages succeeded one another, punctuated by warmer periods in which the glaciers withdrew. The last episode peaked at around 18 to 22,000 years ago. The glacier filled the valley up to an altitude of 2,700 to 3,000 meters, with only the highest peaks and ridges sticking out over the top like rock islands. From 17,500 years ago, the glacier began to recede, leaving behind it many traces of its ancient presence. The Roche Motonnet, rocks with one side smoothed over and the other steep, or those with grooves in the rock carved out by the gravel dragged along by the glacier as it moved down into the valley bottom. Your position affords a magnificent view of Punta San Mateo, 3,678 meters, to the northeast. The mountain's name is due to the climb completed by Julius von Payer on St. Matthew's Day, 21 September, 1867, while the first ascent dates to 2 years earlier, 28 June 1865, by Englishmen Francis Fox Tuckett and Douglas William Freshfield. During First World War, the peak of San Mateo remained unguarded at length as it was considered difficult to supply and defend by both sides. However, in the summer of 1917 the peak was occupied by the Austrians, and this enabled the latter to control Italian men and vehicle movements from Passo di Gavia and strategic domination over the sector between Corno dei Tre Signori, 3,360 meters, to the east of Passo di Gavia, and Punta d'Albiolo, 2,970 meters, in the upper Viso Valley. The Austrian army built trenches equipped with machine guns and linked together by short tunnels dug out of the ice at the peak of San Mateo. Around 30 meters from the peak, a deep tunnel opening up to the east in the direction of Monte Gemella was dug. This tunnel served as a shelter for soldiers and a supplies and ammunition deposit. The Italians responded to the Austrians taking San Mateo by strengthening their Valambrina, Villacorna, Trasero, Dosegu and San Giacomo positions. In August 1918, the Italians organized an attack on San Mateo with a five-pronged strategy. The plan involved the first column, made up of 10 Val Zabru Arditi Alpine guides led by Sergeant Pietro Caimi, climbing up to the peak of San Mateo along its northwest face. A second column made up of 30 soldiers under the command of Lieutenant Giovar Battista Compagnoni, Santa Caterina Valfurva Alpine guide and elementary school teacher, were to climb the southwest ridge, crossing the Dosegu Glacier. The third column, once again made up of 30 men and captained by Lieutenant Camillo de Filippi, was, in the meantime, to move to the other side of Monte Mantello so as to be able to help if needed. Monte Mantello was the objective of the fourth column, made up of just 9 men whose task it was to occupy the peak. Lastly, the fifth column was given orders to act during the final phase of the action to oblige the enemy to surrender. Lastly, the 306th Schiattori Monte Ortler Company, captained by Guido Bertarelli, was ready to provide support if needed. On the morning of 13 August 1918, the attack was launched and 100 or so Alpini soldiers set foot on the peak in rapid action, which led to immediate losses. Over the days which followed, the Italian Alpini set to the hard work of setting up defensive positions. Leading the Italian guard set up on Punta San Matteo was Captain Arnaldo Berni of the 307th Schiattori Monte Ortler Company. Listen to what Berni had to say about this in a letter to his family. "Dear all, here I am finally, after many days of enforced silence, able to spend a little more time with you. You know, from official communiques, that Punta San Matteo at 3,684 meters and Monte Mantello were conquered on the 13th. The action was the work of my battalion and I took part in it, too, with my battalion, which did itself honor. Now we are in the positions conquered and you can imagine how it feels. There are immense climate and ground-related difficulties and we are constantly preoccupied about it being taken away from us by the enemy, which is very close by. Despite past troubles, my health has been excellent throughout. Our action was a huge success and with very few losses. It was the highest altitude action since the war began. The journalists don't make it up here, and so the actions of our men, truly prodigious up here, have not been made public or too little attention has been paid them and #8230, the 3rd Company of the 1st Kaiserschützen Regiment's attack battalion was entrusted with an Austrian reconquest from Punta San Matteo and set to work on 3 September 1918 with a considerable number of men. After heavy preparatory shelling on the peak and under cover of thick fog, 400 Kaiserschützen set off from Monte Gemella. The battle was rapid and violent, and at the end of it around 100 men from both sides had not survived. One of these was Captain Berni, knocked down by blocks of ice in the tunnel he was waiting in with his men. Over the following years, his father Archinto and brothers, together with his loyal adjutant Giacomo Perico, climbed up to the peak of San Matteo many times in an attempt to find his corpse, but always unsuccessfully. A century on from these dramatic events, the San Matteo peak still guards the bodies of around 50 men and #8211. Mainly Italian Alpini soldiers and #8211, still buried deep in the Great Peak Glacier. Let and #8217, s now read the Ortles, Adamello, Giudicheri, Garda Ovest Mountain Guidebook. Both the capturing of Punta San Matteo by an Alpini assault party and its reconquest by the Kaiserschützen were considered desperate and futile by their respective military experts, who based their assessments on prior negative experiences. Together with Punta San Matteo, the Kaiserschützen retook Monte Mantello, too. Since then, on these frozen and solitary, indescribably beautiful peaks, the peace that reigned prior to the war has lasted and feels eternal. In the high rocky cirques below those peaks there are still trenches, stone walls and foundations for gun placements and teleferics. A multiplicity of footpaths and signs of passage mark routes to the glaciers which seem absurd and useless, leaving hikers who know nothing of what went on there perplexed and wondering who might have made him and for what purpose. It was the Alpini, the Kaiserschützen and the Standschützen who used him to get to their respective lines and lookout posts on the front. In the rocks of the peaks around him there are the remains of positions and caves from which emerge the cold but, at the same time, fascinating winds of the past which here transcend all normal mountaineering experience. The battles for the conquest of San Mateo were organic battles fought at the highest altitudes for the whole of the Great War.